my favorite times of the week. I wake up looking forward to coming here and fellowship and to get away from all of the demands of life and just have a minute to reflect and thank God for all that He's done for me. We welcome you to join us in song this morning. Stand with us. Lift up His name and bless Him with us this morning.
Power, power, here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. There is power, power, here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one.
Had to kind of give everything up because I couldn't do it by myself, and I'm horrible at that. I like to do things myself because I know how I want them done, and they get done in a timely manner, and sometimes I just can't do it all, and especially like in me spiritually, I can't do a whole lot. God has to do it in me, and then I see the kind of the fruits come out of that. The first time I gave my heart to God, I did it out of desperation, brokenness, and it was an easy decision. I needed it so much that it outweighed the hurt and the pain and the sadness that I had. And then there's times after that where I've given my heart to God where it was much harder because I wasn't as desperate. Like, my life is really, really great, and I'm really good at doing a whole lot of stuff. And I'm like, okay, I get away from needing God to do a whole lot in my life. Or I think I do anyway. And so the other times I've given my heart to God have been way harder decisions. But there's been more joy out of it because I've grown so much more from it. And this song really kind of speaks to that.
I am yours, I am loved. can breathe. I am healed. I am free. 'Cause you are strong. You are sure. And you are life. You endure. And you are good. Always true. You are life.
Oh,
are open to you today. Thank you for speaking truth to us. Thank you for breathing life into us. Father, you are the way, the truth, and the light. I'm so thankful that you chose to do what you did for us. Without it, we would not be here. We'd be nothing. Lord, we have nothing. We give it all to you today. God, we bless your name. We lift you up. Freely, you gave it all.
Every time we do this song, I kind of talk about the same thing, but it's still, every time, it blows my mind, because of grace, I get to do all the good things in my life, and without it, I get no good things in my life. I'm such a prisoner without that grace, and because it's in me right now, I get to tell people about God. I get to do good things. I get to have fun at work. I get to play music, and the song kind of encapsulates that no matter what it is, you should just go out there and, because of grace, say that God is great and that he's awesome. And you don't have to do anything to earn the ability to tell people about that.
All the poor and powerless, all the lost and lonely, and all the thieves will come confess, and know that you are holy, and know that you are holy, and all will sing out hallelujah, and we will sing out hallelujah. All the hearts who are content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, will know that you are holy, and all will sing out. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God.
Not because you're perfect, but because of grace.
Shout it. Go on and scream it from the
Thank you for everyone who came and got a chicken plate yesterday. We had about 175 or so plates that went out, so a lot of students earned funds to go towards their summer camp, and we are so appreciative of all of that and what's taking place. If you do not have anything going on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, I encourage you to come out to Dundee Park and see Eagles Way softball team play for the championship at 7 o'clock in Dundee. So if you have an hour to give, Pastor Bjorn said, you know, I think I can make that. I'm not sure what senior week schedule is, but I don't know if I can make that or not. We'll have to wait and see. We'll be honoring some graduates in just a moment. Let's pray and let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house and worship you. Lord, that it can be screamed from the mountaintops of how good you are. Thank you for your grace. Lord, bless this tithes and the offerings and the alms, Father, Lord, to the furtherment of your kingdom, Father, Lord, in each and every individual's life. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brian, if you will come up and talk about some seniors that we have just a little bit, and we'll recognize them.
How we doing this morning? We got some seniors graduating. I know we can do better than that. How we doing? All right. As Will was saying, this is the time of the year for us to honor a very special time in the lives of some of our young people here at EWC. Graduation is the time of transition from symbolically from youth to adulthood. We all understand there's a lot left after that, but this is one of those symbolic moments. So we just want to take the time out to recognize the graduates that we have here at Eagles Way. And I don't know if we're ready, but the first one we want to acknowledge is Alex Singley. Alex is actually on a senior trip, but we're going to show some pictures anyway. And our next graduate is Mr. Curtis Jones. It's Curtis. Curtis, can you come down? Are you here? I'm talking to you. You didn't recognize yourself? On behalf of Eagles Way, we want to present you with this little token of our appreciation for all that you've done and all that you've accomplished, and it's something that we hope you'll carry with you until the next phase of your life. And the next thing, stand out here for me. Next thing you want to ask to come up, Mr. Griffin Cleveland. Griffin Cleveland? Not here? Coming? How about Mr. Jacob Wallace? Mr. Jacob Wallace here? There he is. Here's yours, Mr. Jacob. Congratulations. Jessica Goss. It's Jessica here. Mr. Luke Doss, can you come down for me? Mr. Tyler White. Is Tyler here? Leslie Hitson. These are all the names that we have. These are the names that we have. If we have any graduates present that we did not have your name, I want to give you this opportunity to come up. We have something for you as well. Do you have any more high school graduates present? Anybody else? I saw some hand motions. One, we have a Bible for you. Come on down. Madeline. Madeline, I have your name now, so you have to come down. As I stand here, it's this accomplished group of young people. Some of them I know very well. Some of them I haven't had the pleasure of spending time with just yet. So I just wanted to take this quick moment to just share with you. Some of you have been up there and heard this before, so it's just a refresher. But to others of you, something that I want to impart upon you as you take this next phase of your life. Many of us in this room have been where you are right now. I myself have been there. And there's something we do up in the youth group called Lifespan. I just want to kind of do this with you guys really quickly. So I was born December 31st, 1981. So who wants to be baby Brian? Anybody? You'll be baby Brian right here, December 31st, 1981. Started kindergarten at 6 years old. So who wants to be kindergarten Brian? Kindergarten Brian, right here. So I'm gonna give you maybe six or so baby steps. That's 6 years. I graduated high school at 18, much like a lot of you. Who is high school Brian? So take a couple steps out there and represent high school Brian. A little bit more. Took me a little bit longer, so. At 18, I was grown. I'm an adult now. I can go and buy cigarettes, and went into the store and said, I don't even smoke. Just give me some gum and a Coke and whatever, left. So, went to Clemson as a freshman. At 21, that's a big milestone, right? So who's 21-year-old Brian? 21-year-old Brian, take a couple steps out there. 21, you know, we had the cigarettes at 18. That's a little bit too far. Cigarettes at 18, everybody knows what happens at 21. We're not going to talk about that right now. Don't judge me, all right? 21. 27, I graduated from grad school, so I went. Wants to be 27-year-old Brian. A couple steps out there, 27-year-old. Graduated from grad school a couple years later, got laid off, and at 32, Brian took a wonderful job at Eagles Way Church. So who wants to be 32, actually 31? Step on out there and be 31-year-old Brian. So this is kind of where I am in my life. I want you to come over here, and you're probably the most important piece. At 32, that's where I am right now in my life. But I'm constantly reminded of a little thing called lifespan, life expectancy. And currently, the life expectancy is just a number, how we're expected to live. The current life expectancy is 78.37 in the United States. So I want you to be 78-year-old, Brian. So go all the way out there. Don't go out the door, but we know you'll be out there somewhere way, way, way down the line. And this is something we do upstairs to visually show all the young people that at 18, you've done a lot. You've seen a lot. They all raise their hands, and I say, how many of you think you've been in the world for a long time? They all raise their hands, right? This is to visually show them that there's so much more to be done. This is just a chapter in your life. There's so much more. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I've done, and even greater works. You all are expected to do even greater works. At 18, you haven't gotten there yet. There's still so much more work to be done. Much more work to be done. On Friday night, Saturday night, when your names are called, some people are gonna start clapping. But one thing about that applause, it always stops. No applause goes on forever. It always stops. I want all of you to think about that. Think about that as a signal for you that there is still work to be done. Some of you will go off to college, University of South Carolina. Can't even say it. Some of you are going off to college. Some of you are going to go ahead and start your careers. But no matter what it is that you're doing, understand that there's still even greater works to be accomplished. Live in this moment. Enjoy it because you've earned it. But understand that there's still so much more work, so much more life to live. There are going to be things that are going to trip you up, things you've never seen before. But understand, those are things that want to keep you from getting from right here to all the way down there. this is just your physical life. Think about your spiritual life and your life with God. There are things that are going to want to trip you up from that as well. Understand there are even greater works. Now, come on back down for me. Give them a round of applause. Now, as I said before, I know a couple of you. I know some of you I haven't had the pleasure of spending time with, but there is someone that is here that you guys came into the ministry with, and he's been, you know, your mentor, your role model, your leader for the time that I was not here before I came here. And I want to ask Pastor Mike to come down. And since you guys came in on Mike, it's only fitting that he pray for you guys during this time. So I want to turn it over to Pastor Mike.
All right, before I pray, I have to say just a few things. One, I love you guys. You don't know how much I think about you. You don't know how much I anticipate so much good for your lives, because God put dreams in all of your hearts. God put these dreams that you're so just wanting to chase right now, and you're full of life and vigor. And when you step out from high school and you step out into this real world, when you step out into what is going to be you, just remember that God put those dreams in your heart, and he wants you to chase them. He wants to see them fulfilled. Do not doubt it for one second. Don't let life stumble you. Don't let those speed bumps become blockades. You're always moving towards good. You're always moving towards good. Chase those dreams, because they're real, because God put them in your heart. Let's pray. Father, today I lift up these young people because I know that you love them, and I know that you want to see them succeed, and you put dreams in their heart. Today I lift these young people up because I know that tomorrow is a new day for them. I know this next week, this next month, there's going to be change and excitement and fear. Lord, that they would overcome that fear and know that your love for them is going to pull them through all of this, and that they are going to be successful, and they are going to change the world. Lord, today I lift these young people up because I love them like they're mine. Lord, be with them. We're thankful for them. We want to see them succeed too. Let us be that village that holds them up. Let us be that village that loves them through. Lord, bless them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
I see all these kids I knew as babies, dedicated them as babies, now they're graduating. That's kind of, I don't know how that feels. Old. But I want you to listen this morning, those that are graduating, and the other people too, you need to listen. But we're going to close out our series in the book of James. Next week, I'm excited about a series we're going to begin called Jesus Stories. And we're just going to go through the Gospels, picking out different times in Christ's life and him doing certain things and how he did it and what he did and why he did. And we're going to do that for the summer. But we're going to close out this morning in James, talking about two characteristics that's so important in everyone's life, and two characteristics or two things that everybody wants in life. And one is to be fruitful. Matter of fact, that was God's first commandment he ever gave mankind. He looked at Adam and Eve when he created them. He blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, or the better term for fill the earth is subdue the earth, and take dominion. Take dominion over everything in the earth. So two commands he gives out of the gate. I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to have power. I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to have power. In James chapter 5 and verse 7 to 8, dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. And if what he's saying to these people, these scattered tribes, is this: I want you to look at what the farmer does, how he patiently waits on his harvest to come, because what God wants out of our lives is a harvest. That God wants to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in Genesis, he takes the characteristic from Joseph, and he says, Joseph is the foal of a wild donkey, the foal of a wild donkey at a spring, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Archers attacked him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained taut, and his arms were strengthened. By the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel, may the God of your father help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above and the blessings of the watery depths below and the blessings of the breast and the womb. May the blessings of your father surpass the blessings of the ancient mountains, reaching the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, who is a prince among his brothers. Well, that's quite a blessing. You know, a lot of the characteristics we looked at from Jacob's 12 sons, some of them were good, but some of them were not so good. But this is a pretty awesome blessing that he gave Joseph and said, I want you to be productive, and I want you to abound in everything. I want to give you some principles out of that scripture in James when it says, what are some principles for waiting? How many know probably is one thing I've heard people say probably more than anything else, because I don't have patience. I know none of you have ever said, I'm just not patient. I believe we're all more patient than we realize. And we all have to wait on things. These kids have been real patient for 12 years to get to where they are. There's a principle of waiting on the Lord that's important. There's a principle of seeing God bring things about in our life that it just doesn't happen overnight. You don't get a diploma your first year of school. You don't get it your second, your third, your fourth, your fifth. You don't get it until the 12th. You got to go all 12 years before you get that diploma. You got to go all the way through college before you get that diploma. There's a waiting on everything. If you wait on something, it's always good. If we just have patience to wait on it, it's usually going to be something pretty neat and pretty worth waiting on. But he says, I want you to look what the farmer does, and he waits for something. He waits for an early rain, and then he waits for a latter rain. In the early rain, he says, it's going to soften the ground where the seeds can really germinate. But the latter rain is going to be the rain that's going to come, and it's going to bring forth the fruit. Now, I'm going to share a few things with you that I don't talk about too much here. But I was raised Pentecostal, and so I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues every day. For some of you, that's probably a little shock. And some of you are saying, I don't even know what he's talking about. But the Bible says that Paul said that if we pray in the Spirit, that it bypasses our mind, and that we are edified in our soul and our body. We are just edified inside. It's something that's a gift that God gives whomever wants this gift. It's called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we read in the book of Acts, and it's called, and oftentimes it's recorded as the Acts of the Apostles, but in reality it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because what we see in Acts chapter 2 is an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit that comes. And the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then on in Acts chapter 6, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on and tells us over and over again to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there's a third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit that we can depend upon. We can go to the Father and ask the Father anything in Jesus' name, and we can proclaim things and we can confess things in Christ's name that's good. But it's also something to know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us that we can depend upon, and He will give us everything that we need. Okie dokie. Isaiah chapter 11 says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. Now listen to this. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, and there were seven spirits of God. He said there were seven eyes of God, and the seven eyes of God were the seven spirits of God. Now, the seven spirits of God are recorded here in Isaiah chapter 11. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And so we have at our disposal at any time in our life this person called the Holy Spirit. Whether you know or not, when you received Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked to his disciples. One of the last things he did with his disciples, he says he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And then he did something strange. He breathed. How many know if Christ breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, how many know they received it? Jesus never said anything that didn't happen. Jesus never proclaimed anything or said anything that did not happen. So when he breathed upon them, they received the Holy Spirit. And yet he says to them, before you do anything, before you take this gospel to the nations, before you take this and go preach to the whole world, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry there in Jerusalem and wait until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And here in Jerusalem, there were all these people, it was a festival of the Jews. They were there to celebrate Pentecost, and all these people from all these different nations were there. And this strange phenomenon happened, that the power of the Holy Spirit says fell upon them, not only the 12, there was about 120, the Bible says, in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's not anything strange to see overseas. It happens many times that someone will speak in a language that they don't know, and it'll be a language that's actually a language. And so they began to speak, and the people were amazed, and they said, whoa, these people are drunk. And Peter says, these people aren't drunk as ye suppose. It's only the third hour. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. These people are not drunk as ye suppose. But this is what was prophesied by Joel, that in the last days he would outpour his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy. Your old men would dream dreams, and your young men would see visions. And not only on them would he outpour his Holy Spirit, but on their children and on their maidens and on their handmaidens and on whosoever will can have this outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in their life. You have the privilege to allow God at any time to flow through you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, to give you knowledge, to give you power, to give you whatever you need at any time. In Deuteronomy 11:14, then he will send the rains in the proper seasons, the early and the latter rains, so you can bring into your harvest the grain, the new wine, and the oil. Joel says, rejoice, you people of Jerusalem, rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. There again, two scriptures we just read. He's going to give you wine, he's going to give you grain, and he's going to give you oil. Psalms 104, verses 14 through 15. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for the people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. I really like another translation of that is this, that God gave us wine to make our heart merry. He gave us bread to give us strength, and he gave us oil to make our face shine. Three things that God wants through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. He wants you to have joy. I'm so glad. Are you glad God is not some prune? He wants you to be happy. The first miracle that Jesus ever did, they gave out a wine. And Jesus goes and says, Mary comes to Jesus and said, they're out of wine. They're so embarrassed. They're, this big wedding and all these guests are here and they're out of wine. And Jesus, Mary says, whatever he says, do. And he saw six water pots. He says, go fill those six water pots up with water. And they did. He said, now go pour it to the guests. And they begin to pour out of those water pots wine. Really? No, he couldn't have. Yes, he did. And they said, wow. Man, this is, most of the time you go to a party, they bring out the good wine first, and after it's all drunk up, then they'll bring the old wine. It ain't no good because nobody knows any difference. But he says, not Jesus. He saved the best for last. And I want to tell you something. I've preached this for years and years and years. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. God has always saved the best for last. Your best days are ahead of you. Their best days are always ahead of you. They're never behind you. They're ahead of you. For you believe that. Your best years are ahead. Yeah. I used to dread getting old. I did. Man, I turned 40. I thought it was the worst thing that ever happened. 40. Oh, God. Then I turned 50. And I thought, oh, no. I'm over the hill. It's over. But then when I saw 60 just coming around the corner, I thought, God, you know what? Since 60 to now has been the best years of my life. Because I determined I was going to not let age have a factor. If God says the best is yet to come, the best is yet to come. Amen. Best is yet to come. God wants me to have joy. God wants me to have strength. He wants me to have strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He wants me to have strength. And he wants my face to shine. What does that mean? He gave oil for my face. What did he give oil for my face for? Well, I don't know if you look at this face right now, but when I got up this morning, it didn't look this good. It really didn't. And I do some things in the morning that helps it out. I have, Barbara says, you use more products than I do. I said, well, I need more products than you do. And so I have this routine. I get up and I shower, I shave, and I get my Nivea out. It's got this balm, replenishing balm. Now, it works, folks. Look, it works. And you put that replenishing balm on there, and it just works. And after it's all over, I look in the mirror and I go, not bad for 63, not bad. I can make it today. I can go out and face the world. But you know something? There's something greater than that replenishing balm of Nivea on my face. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit that far exceeds all of that, and he wants my face to shine. And he wants your face to shine. And that's why when I grew up in Pentecostals, a lot of them just didn't have the joy of the Lord, and they looked so sad all the time, and they looked so pitiful all the time. It wasn't because they were Pentecostal. It was because they didn't understand what the Holy Spirit was in their life for, that it was there to do more than speak in tongues. It was there to do more than to be an utterance that you don't understand, that he's there to give you strength. He's there to be, Jesus said, if I don't go away, he won't come. But if I go away, he'll come. You see, Jesus couldn't be with his disciples. Could you imagine Jesus saying to his 12 disciples, it is better for me to leave you than stay here with you? No, they would have went, Jesus, how can that possibly be? How can it be better for us for you to go away? How can it be possibly better for us? And Jesus said, because when he comes, God the Father and me will take up our abode in you. And we will go with you wherever you go. We will be with you wherever you are. And we will help you. He is called our paraclete. That is a Greek word for one who's called alongside to help. It's the same word that Genesis, God used in Genesis men when he said he created the woman to be your help meet. It's the same word as he gave the Holy Spirit. He gave you your wife to be your help meet, to be your helper, and you need her. Okay. I'll back away from that one. We'll move right along. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Two things happened to me 2 weeks ago that hadn't happened in a long time. And I took 2 weeks off. Dusty preached on Mother's Day, and then Charles Simpson preached our anniversary day. And Charles, when he was preaching, just caused two things just to explode in my life. And that was the Word of God. I mean, just I always loved the Word of God, but every now and then you get this fresh explosion of God's in your life. The Holy Spirit does that. And while he was preaching, I got this explosion that happened in my spirit for the Word of God. And the Word of God just all of a sudden, I mean, I love the Word of God, but I love it more now than I did 2 weeks ago. Something happened, I just got a fresh explosion of the love for God's Word. If you'll just wait and allow the Holy Spirit, he will quicken and make things real and make things alive in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, without the Holy Spirit, it's just dead. It's dead. You can't understand the Word of God without the Holy. You can't understand the Word without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he will lead you and he will guide you into all truth. Second thing, you got to take courage. He says in James 5:8, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. In other words, establish your faith. Get positive. Speak positive words. Speak positive words. I want to bring to remembrance what I taught several years ago about Samson. When Samson was a Nazarite, he had three vows he had to take. One, he couldn't touch anything dead. Two, he can't drink any wine. And three, he can't cut his hair. He drank a lot of wine. Boy was partying. Every time you turned the page in Judges, he was at a party looking for a woman. Touched dead things all the time. He killed 1,000 Philistines at one time with the jawbone of a donkey. So he drank a lot of wine. His strength never left him. Killed a lot of people, touched a lot of dead things. Strength never left him. But one day a woman's talking to him and said, tell me your strength. And the Bible says he made a confession. If you cut my hair, my strength will leave me. It wasn't his hair, it was his strength. It was the covenant that God had made with him that was his strength. And his own confession said, if you cut my hair, I'll lose my strength. So you say, is it really important what we say? You'll see something more so in a minute. Third thing, to be fruitful, don't blame others for your situation. James said, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged, for look, the judge is standing at the door. I know nobody here has ever blamed anybody else for their problems. No, all of our problems is our problems. It's not your brother nor your sister. It's not your dad. It's not who you. God knew who was going to give birth to you. It wasn't your mom. We can't blame others for our situation. And if we do, we're not going to be fruitful. We can't be fruitful and blame other people. Second thing we need is power. Benjamin was power. It says, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, devouring his enemies in the morning and dividing his plunder in the evening. Principles of power, James chapter 5. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human, as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. The fervent or the earnest prayer of a righteous person. Now, a lot of people are going to look and say two things. Number one, man, I wish I was righteous. You are. How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life? Just raise your hand. You believe that Christ is the Son of God and He's in your life. Okay? You're righteous. You can't get any more righteous than that. You're in right standing with God, so you're a righteous person. So how can I, as a righteous person, pray an earnest prayer? An earnest prayer is simply what it sounds like. It's an earnest. You mean it. You feel it. It's heartfelt. It's heartfelt. Now, there's a thing in Christendom where people say this all the time and never, ever do I pray about that. They never pray about that. They're not serious about that. I tell you, when you get serious about prayers, you really get serious, you pray. You pray. And there's just a few things about prayer. It's got to be heartfelt. It needs to be specific. Some people pray such vague prayers. God, just bless me. With what? Dusty came at me as a kid and said, Daddy, you know, just make me happy. How? How? Lord, I need a... How? Be specific with God. Ask Him exactly what you want. Be expectant. Man, if we could just be like kids. The Bible says if we could just be like kids, the kingdom of God would eat us up. If we could just be like a kid. Because you know, when a kid comes and asks, they expect you to give it. You know that? If you don't know that, you're dumb. Your kids come and ask you, they expect it. They don't come asking and not expect it. And then when they don't get it, you can tell they were expecting it. But they come expecting every time. My grandkids come to me, they never, ever think Gaga's not coming through. They're expectant. And because they're so expectant, it's hard for me not to give them what they were asking for. I mean, that's what grandfathers are for. It's what we do. I mean, it's what we do. It's why we're grand. And you aren't. Let me tell you why it's so important to be positive. All right, this one's hot off the grill. So buckle your seatbelt. Hold on. Listen. See, there's a man, he's a prophet. Just said right here, Elijah was a human like we are. Yet he prayed that it might not rain. Shut up the heavens. He prayed again. Heavens came. The rains came. But listen what it says. Elijah walks up to Israel one day. It says, Now Elijah, who was from Tishbite in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. One negative confession. How many knows that's pretty negative? It was a word, but it's still negative. You're shutting up the heavens for 3.5 years is not going to rain. That's negative, folks. That's nothing positive about no rain for 3.5 years. Not going to have much fruit in the earth if there's no rain for 3.5 years. He just said that, and the heavens became ironclad. It was 3.5 years. Now, 3.5, he said, accept it my word, but when he came back 3.5 years later, he couldn't just speak the word and see it happen. Yeah, y'all clap. Go ahead and clap on that. Yeah. He couldn't just speak the word. The Bible says that he goes up to the mountaintop, he puts his head between his knees, and he begins to pray earnestly. And he tells his servant to go to the top of the mountain and to see if you see anything, what you're looking for. I'm looking for some sign of rain. So the servant, as obedient as he was, runs up the top of the mountain and looks and doesn't see anything, runs back down to the bottom of the mountain and tells Elijah, I don't see anything. Go again. He runs back up to the top of the mountain and looks out across. He doesn't see anything. He runs down back to Elijah and says, I don't see anything. Go again. How'd you like to be that servant? Seven times he went, and at the seventh time, I don't know if he saw anything or not. I kind of think he's imagining this. He finally says, I think I did see something. The seventh time, he's wore out, he's sweating, and he goes, I see a cloud. About the size of a man's hand. You think you see a cloud the size of a man's hand? I don't know if he saw that or not. Maybe he did, but it worked. So he comes back down the seventh time and tells Elijah, I see a cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand. That's all it takes. Ralph says you need to replace a negative thought with three positive thoughts. I said you need to replace it with 10. Let's just go with 7. You want to just go with 7? Okay. You can bring a lot of havoc with one negative word. And it's going to take a lot of positive words to get that back. Thank you, Ralph. Be heartfelt. Last Matthew chapter 6, he says, disciples came to Christ and said, how do you pray? Teach us to pray. I'm so glad that they knew that what they needed from Jesus was not, Lord, teach me how to be a great preacher. Teach me how to prophesy. Teach me how to counsel people. No, just teach me how to pray. As I said, this is not the Lord's Prayer. How many know Jesus never had to pray, forgive me of my sins? He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, they have all the reward they'll ever get. When you pray, get by yourself, shut your door. This is Buddhism. I sometimes get embarrassed in restaurants the way people pray. I don't know if that's not unbiblical. So I think sometimes people pray just to be seen. And he says here, don't pray to be seen. You see me eat my food before I pray, don't you judge me and say he didn't pray. You don't know if I prayed or not. When I bring my groceries in and set them on the counter, I thank God for every bit of those groceries that's in those bags. I just thank God for them. Anyway, tell that one over like a lead balloon. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people do and think they'll be answered by speaking so many words. As I told you, I was raised Pentecostal. Man, I go to conferences and I'd have these dudes tell me they pray for 3 hours in the morning. And I'd go, I felt like such a poor pastor. Because I knew I didn't pray 3 hours in the morning. I ain't pray an hour in the morning. And I felt they'd make me feel this big. But I'd get around them and they were no more spiritual than I was. They didn't know any more than I knew. And so I'm thinking, did I really pray for 3 hours? Well, I kept trying to find out what they meant, Rev, when they said, well, I prayed for 3 hours. It means they just thought about the Lord and studied the Word for 3 hours. When I found that out, I said, I can't tell you what I said about them. I thought, all this time you've been putting me, I pray more than all y'all pray. If that's praying, I pray more than every one of you pray. I pray for hours sometimes. I pray 4 and 5 and 6 hours in a row, meditating on the Word, studying the Word, and communing with the Father. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. One guy said the greatest prayer he ever prayed was hanging upside down in a well. Sometimes the biggest prayer you pray, when we got capsized at sea, Delbert just prayed one simple prayer, Jesus, help! That was the shortest prayer I ever heard Delbert pray. But it was a heartfelt prayer. When you're going overboard out of a boat 4 miles out at sea, you just say, help. You're not heard by all your... No, you're heard by just because God loves you. Some of you parents, he said, if you say my name one more time, I'm so glad God's not that way. But then again, I think he is. Probably sometimes he says, will you stop asking me that? I'm going to do it. Have you got any patience? All right, I got to close real quick. How am I going to pray? Simple prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be holy. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, let your will be done. Give us this our daily food. And he ain't talking about bread, the food you're fixing to go eat that some of you are thinking about right now. I said, well, he just hushed. I'm hungry. Not talking about that food. Talking about the food from heaven. Give us our daily food. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that Greek word for sin is a Greek word that I cannot pronounce. But it means this. God, there are people who owe me love and they're not paying up. They're not paying up. There's one debt you can never, ever pay, and that's the debt of love. There's only one way I can pay the full debt of love price. I can die for you. Literally, I could give my life for my daughter. I could die for her, and I would pay the debt of love in full. But I wouldn't have paid it to Barbara. I wouldn't have paid it for you. Only one person could pay that price and die that death for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ paid his debt of love to every person who ever lived and every person who will ever live. He died for the world. You can never... Paul said this, owe no man nothing but to love him. Just love him. And he said, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This better translation of that is, lead us not into temptation. Let me tell you how to overcome sin. How many want to know how to overcome temptation? David, you're the only one. Okay. You listen to me? All right. Talk to you, David. The only way, let me tell you how to overcome sin. Let me tell you how to overcome temptation. Don't go there. Wow. Proverbs. Solomon said to his son, son, let me tell you how to not commit adultery. Let me tell you how to not fornicate. Tell me, daddy. Don't go down the street of the harlot. Don't go to her house. Oh. Just don't go there. Well, I told you the story before. My daddy, I asked him, I said, daddy, you know, what's lust? I don't know if I lust or not. I think I might. daddy said, son, this is what Jesus meant. He says, if you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Well, first time I ever read that, I thought, whoa. This is a biggie. So I went to daddy and said, daddy, how do I do this? He said, son, it just means you don't circle the block. And 2 weeks later, I'm in my car. Now, it wasn't 2 weeks ago. This was 30-something years ago, just so you know. Everybody with me? All right, it's 30-something years ago, not 2 weeks ago. But about 2 weeks later, I'm downtown, and I see this beautiful woman. And I circled the block. I just went around the block to come back around and get one more look. I'm sorry, Barbara, but that was 30-something years ago. It was all over. All right, I circled the block, and as soon as I got around, I went, that's what Daddy meant. That's what Daddy meant. Don't circle the block. That's how you overcome temptation. Don't circle the block. Some of you guys, I just eat up with lust. And you go on the computer and you watch porn. Eat up with lust. Really? Phew. All you got to do is take one finger and turn the computer out. That's why when I was a kid, man, it was a sin to have a TV in your house. And all we, I Love Lucy and Hillbilly. Man, if it was a sin then, it's really bad now. This kitty's coming. I love this prayer. It's a simple way to pray. In 1 Chronicles 4:9-10 says, there was a man named Japheth who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother's name is Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to God of Israel. You're not heard for your much speaking. You're not heard for how many times you say it. You're heard because you're talking to your Heavenly Father and you're talking to Him just from your heart. Just talking from your heart. Are you with me? See, God, He wants you to talk to Him like you mean it. Talk to Him like He's there. And boy, He prayed a simple prayer, but what a prayer. Oh God, You'd bless me, that You'd expand my territory. That means that You'd prosper my endeavors. Be with me in all that I do. And keep me from all trouble and pain. Well, it'd be a simple prayer to pray every morning and going to work, wouldn't it? Lord, bless me. May Your hand of power and protection be upon me. And keep me from evil. Because that's how I can overcome it. Because Solomon told his son, "Son, if you go down the road, you're toast. You go down the road, you're toast. Best way to overcome is just don't go there. Best way to see God's blessings in your life is just to ask Him. And just talk to Him like He's your real loving, kind, gracious Heavenly Father that He is, because He is. And the Bible says this, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to us? If we ask Him for bread, is He going to give us a stone? He's going to give us what we ask for, because He loves you. And you just can't be told that enough. You just can't have that spoken into your life. You can't tell yourself that too much. God loves me. And therefore, I want to be the most positive person I can be. Amen? Can I just close with this before we have communion? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to his hearers. Lord, let my thoughts be acceptable in your sight at all times. Let's do that. Let's do that. I can't OD you on positive. I'd kill you with negative. We had a horrible thing happen in this city the other night. If you don't think negativity implodes, that's what happened. All this negativity, all that stuff, that man's life imploded. And he's ruined the life of so many people. He's absolutely ruined the life of so many people because of so much junk was placed in. So much junk. We're going to keep preaching to you, preaching to me, to be positive. because it expands you. And negativity will implode in you and destroy everything around you. I won't tell you who this was, but he's here today. And after I tell the story, if you look around and see somebody grinning, it's him. He's reading his Bible one morning this past week, and his daughter came in, and he was condemning himself. And she said, "Really, you're reading the Bible and condemning yourself? Just don't ain't right, is it?" Right. But you know what? Spoke to him. You know what? If every single one of you was honest, you'd probably done the same thing. You ever been praying and had a negative thought? You ever been reading your Bible and had a negative thought? Don't stop there. Repent of that and move on. Just keep moving on, church. Just keep moving on. Amen. Well, these kids have been back here for a long time saying, "When's that guy going to hush and let's have communion?" So if you'll stand and our eldership come, we're going to receive communion together. Ben, Mary Jane, why don't you all come down and stand right here if you will. And I'm going to serve you guys communion. I'm just going to let everybody else join in. But they're moving to Nashville, Tennessee. Actually, Hendersonville, which is right outside. That's where all the rich people live, in Hendersonville, in case you don't know. But he said they won't be there long. But as your pastor, for all this time, I just bless you guys. And just always remember, this is his body, which is broken for you. And take and eat in remembrance of him. And this is his blood that was shed for you. And drink in remembrance of him. I'm reminded when we did your wedding, it'd be 2 years this summer, and it just poured rain, just really poured rain. It was an outdoor wedding, and we had to go up, had a little pavilion there, though, so I was able to go up under there. And but the Lord just really gave me a word for you, and remind you of that. Just as that rain was always a good sign in the Bible. Rain comes to bring forth harvest and bring forth fruit. And that's what he wants in y'all's lives. And I just, y'all have been a blessing as a couple to us here. And I just have really honored the way that you love each other and appreciate that. And y'all, you go and he gives you any trouble, you call me. And we'll send some dudes up there and straighten him out, okay? I tell you a funny story. I had a mother's back in church last 2 weeks. But we have, she's in therapy, and one of the nurses that came to see her said, knew I was pastor of Eagles Way Church, and she said to mother and the person there keeping, said, well, you know, he's losing all of his good singers. Said they all got too good for that church, and they're all moving to Nashville. So I got home, I was told they're all moving, so y'all ain't got everybody else going with you, do you? Just you two? Just you two? All right, good. Bless you. Always remember how much God loves you. Remember, all these people love you too, and we're going to miss you. Bless your career. I just bless your career. Bless doors just be open for you both, and just the blessings of the Lord just go before you, and follow you, behind you, and just surround you with his goodness. And if you see Garth Brooks, tell the man I'm here. His greatest fan. 7 concerts I've been to, I should get free tickets the rest of my life. Okay? Bless you. Thank you. Will, you need to say anything? God bless you. Have a great day.